From the Gospel, when you fast, do not look dismal. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are on the eve of beginning fully our great Lenten fast. And these words from the Gospel, when you fast, do not look dismal, they struck me as very important. Because sometimes we see the Lenten fast as a dismal time, but our Lord doesn't intend that to be the case at all. He says, when you fast. So fasting is not optional. He knows we will do it. He expects us to do it. But we can do it a wrong way, and we can do it a right way. And it's more than just the externals. It's also what's going on inside our hearts as we're doing it. When you fast, do not look dismal. The point is that fasting is meant to renew our hearts, to get us back to a right place with God, a right focus on God. And we live our lives sometimes so self-indulgent, and it's just whatever I want, whenever I want it. And God gets left out of that equation. Fasting, eating, what we eat, but how we eat. And doing that with a self-control and self-discipline, as our church prescribes for this holy season, this is an opportunity for us to renew our focus on the Lord. And when we do focus on the Lord, it's not dismal. It's life-giving. The Lord renews our hearts. It's an opportunity to experience His love, His peace, His joy that He gives to us. At first, like all spiritual disciplines, it may just take some effort, like the Lord says here, anoint your head, wash your face. So we have to sort of just do it, even when we don't necessarily feel like it. But we begin with obedience, doing. And then as we do that and open our hearts to the Lord with a right focus, He comes. He comes to meet us. He comes to cleanse us. He comes to renew us. The Lord wants us to have joy, His joy, real joy. He wants us to have His peace, real peace. Not like the world's happiness, not like the world's peace, the real thing. And that renewed relationship with God is what Lent is all about. We have an icon before us that looks unusual. It's the icon of the Adam and Eve being removed from paradise. Sad to think about. That's one of the themes of this day. Not just Forgiveness Sunday, but the loss of paradise for Adam and Eve. It came, it happened, church fathers remind us, by simply one act of disobedience to God. Just one. And that one was over food. So you could say, well, that's rather minor when you think about the big loss, the big consequence that came as a result of that. But it was more than just the not eating or eating what they were told not to eat. It was more than that. It was pride. It was their own unwillingness, even after it happened, to repent. Yet the Lord was seeking them. You wonder, what would have happened if they, when the Lord was seeking them, they would have simply said, forgive us, Lord. We disobeyed you. How would the story might have been different? They didn't do that. They hid from God. They were prideful. And so they lost paradise. It shows that there's consequence to sin. And that's one of the even little sins, what we might call little sins, there's consequence. We live our lives and we think there's no consequence for sin. And maybe some, in a religious way, we think, well, Christ died for the sins of the world, and so it's all covered, it's all taken care of, so my little sins here or there couldn't be that big a deal. And we excuse our sins. But we don't realize that every sin has a consequence. And probably the biggest consequence is that we lose that gift that the Lord wants us to have, paradise. It's an inner paradise. It's that peace, that right place with Him, that sweet spot with the Lord. I read this week an early church document called the Apostolic Constitution. And it's actually dated from the 4th century and originated in our old church of Antioch, according to the tradition. Here's what it says. The Holy Spirit always abides with those that are possessed of it so long as they are worthy. And those from whom it has departed, it leaves them desolate, exposed to the wicked spirit. Now every man is filled with either the holy or with the unclean spirit. It is not possible to avoid the one or the other. Isn't that strong language? We sometimes think that we can have it both ways. We can be a Christian and have the Holy Spirit and still do all various little things and occasionally even some big things that God says they're wrong, they're going to hurt you. Not because God is trying to just deny us for the sake of denying us. He's trying to protect us. Because every commandment of God is for our good, so that we can have His peace and we can have His Holy Spirit. When we go otherwise, we lose that precious gift. We lose that inner paradise. We lose the Holy Spirit. We feel empty inside. And what comes in its place are all kinds of evil spirits that come, that torment us, that drive our lives crazy. Well, that's a sobering thought as we enter Lent and as we think about the things that we need to repent of. I'm sure there's something for all of us to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I acknowledge it. Forgive me. We cannot serve two masters. That's another way of saying the same thing. And these are the words of the Lord from the Gospel. A man cannot serve two masters. What voice are we seeking to follow always in our hearts? The time of Lent, a time to renew our convictions and say, I really want to be a Christian. I really want to listen to the voice of God alone. And I repent where I've fallen into those other wrong ways. That's what the epistle today is teaching us. The epistle that speaks of cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, do not despise one another. See? And that gets at the theme of forgiveness, which is in the gospel today. Where we feel we've been wronged, but then we let the wrong build up as resentment inside us, and anger we cling to, and we justify ourselves. Very soon it becomes a root of deep bitterness, and there's no happiness, there's no peace, there's only that bitterness. We've been hurt then two ways, not only by the one who wronged us, but how we've let it become a bitter fruit inside us. The remedy simply is give it to our good Lord. Acknowledge, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive this other person. I put it in your hands. I know I need healing. I know I am broken at times by things that have happened to me very unfairly. But Lord, you're the healer. You're the Savior. Work in my heart. Work in other people's heart. Have mercy on us all. That's what our gospel is calling for us to do on this Forgiveness Sunday. I read also this week the Didache. I was reading all these early church documents. The Didache is from the first century, like 100 AD, the teaching of the 12 apostles. And in it, there's this very ancient description of Christian worship, which is Eucharistic, just like we experience today. It's the same thing. It hasn't changed from the first century. Here's the words from the Didache about the Eucharist. As this broken bread was scattered over the hills and was gathered together and became one, so let thy church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into thy kingdom. Well, it's talking about, obviously, grain and wheat that comes together to make a loaf. And that loaf then represents Christ and the church, consecrated, made holy to be his precious body that we partake of. Notice how it says, as that broken bread was scattered. Broken bread. So, did a little bit of study on that. And it took me back to the feeding of the 5,000. How our Lord broke bread and he fed the multitude, a very broken people. But that's what he came to do, to heal, to feed us, to satisfy us. Not just physically, but spiritually inside. And bread is broken. That same word is used when it says, after he fed the 5,000, the disciples were instructed to take up baskets full of the broken pieces. Take them up. In other words, they ate, but it wasn't just a one-time meal. They then went with the Lord in the baskets, broken fragments, again for the Lord to continue his healing in them. We at times are those fragments, and our lives are fragmented, and we are a broken people. But see, in this miracle of the Eucharist, God feeds us, and even as we leave, he continues to care for us, and he wants us to be with him and close to him so that this kingdom may grow, not just inside us, but wherever we go, that we can carry that and spread that good news to people that so much need that good news. Forgiveness. It's real. God came to take Adam and Eve, who were exiled from paradise, and put them back into paradise. That's what he said to the thief, those same words, today you'll be with me in paradise, because the thief repented. The thief acknowledged the Lord. The thief wanted to be with the Lord, even as the Lord hung on the cross. The thief discovered the last time in his life, what you'd call the treasure in the field or the pearl of great price. I love those simple little parables. He discovered the Lord. He discovered what was most important in life. His treasure. The gospel speaks of treasure. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume. Life can just sort of go along, and we think the whole purpose of life is the things we're accumulating and worldly living. No, it's to discover the pearl of great price, the treasure in the field, which is Christ Himself. And then once we have that, and then we seek to realign our lives in that way, that's the purpose of our life. We have not only peace because we know the Lord, we also have purpose because He's now directing us in a good way with all of His commandments that are only there to keep us in His peace and in His love. Dear friends, I pray all of us have a blessed Lenten season. And as we engage to be obedient to the Lord in every way, as we engage to put down pride, as we humbly acknowledge our sins to the Lord and to one another seeking reconciliation, may we find this is not a dismal season. This is a season of profound spiritual joy and renewal. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.